Greetings, beloved ones. We are talking today about letting go of the past, and I will be talking with you for a short while, and then hopefully with each other about this subject. There are many reasons for wanting to let go of the past. One of the most important is the desire to release feelings and thoughts that we've carried for a very long time that have been painful to us, and that we feel uncomfortable with. But this isn't the only reason for letting go of the past, and I'm going to talk with you for a short while about some of the other perspectives that one can hold about letting go of the past. I'll speak with you, and then afterwards I invite you to talk with me with any questions you have and concerns you might have. So, healing the past is one reason to wish to let go of the past. But another reason, which has a deep spiritual root, is the desire to be closer to God, the desire to know and to experience the divine directly. This can't happen if our identities are locked into a past way of thinking that repeats old experiences in the present. In order to have a direct experience of the divine, which actually can happen in every moment, we need to be open to every moment. We need to be present in every moment. And so our presentness in the moment allows us to receive whatever that moment can bring. And here is one of the main concepts to hold about letting go of the past. In the moment, in the present, lies all potential for healing. We don't have to, despite the belief that it's necessary to redo things in the past or to forgive the past or to whatever. We can be healed of whatever has accumulated in our consciousness by being present in the present. This is a great learning, to trust the moment of healing, to trust that the present can bring to us all that is needed. However, trust is often difficult because it means letting go of what's familiar. And you know, each of you know in your own heart, what would cause difficulty for you to let go of. There are things that we say we would like to be free of, ways of acting, ways of responding to life. We say we would like to be free of them. But in point of fact, we're actually holding on to these ways of being and ways of living. So we have to, in order to be present, let go of the clinging that we're doing to past identities. It may be that the past identity is one of, let's say, I'll cope with any situation that's painful by withdrawing, by becoming silent, or by going away myself. That's one way of dealing with issues of difficulty. Another is to get angry. We say, the only way I can deal with life's challenges is by protecting myself through getting angry. That's another way of dealing with life's difficulties. So whatever the past identity is, we have to look in an honest way, not only at what seems attached to us, but what we are holding on to. And that involves surrender. Surrender of the need for self-protection in favor of the desire for God protection, in favor of the desire to be held in a divine embrace so that we are open to learning whatever it is we need to learn in order to be more whole. This is what letting go of the past is about. It involves letting go in a willing surrender of identities that we have been clinging to, and it involves trusting the present moment to redefine us and to bring to us what is needed for our own healing. And I assure you, that life is constituted so that we can, if we can be fully present in the present moment, that whatever is needed for healing will take place. And this is especially true if we simultaneously bring ourselves into the present by trying to be fully with whatever's going on, not to project from past experience on what's going on. And if we pray to learn to be present and to trust the present moment. Prayer is very important in this. Prayer allows the divine intelligence to respond to our desire to be made new. Some of you who are familiar with the Old Testament may recognize in King David's Psalms the calling out that David did to God. He said in Psalm 51, "Make me new. Let the bones that thou hast broken rejoice. Make me new. Purify me." So there has to be a willingness to release the past identities and to be made new. The present moment, beloved ones, brings to us what life is meant to bring to us as defined by our soul purpose. Each of you has a soul purpose. Each of you is here to flower, to unfold, to become all that you're meant to be according to the soul's definition that your soul has chosen for this lifetime. And so, when you can surrender into the present moment, you bring yourself into accord more with your soul's purpose. Now, I've said many things quickly here, and I want you to reflect as best you can on what might be easy and what might be difficult for you, because we can use words in a way that creates an understanding of what's needed. But the actual ability to do what's needed, that's where the change is required. To actually be willing to let go of what we've held on to and what we have said has held on to us. We have said, such and such a feeling has held on to us. I wish I could be free of such and such. But in reality, we are holding on to it. So, this is a big topic, a very big subject, and we will return to it again and again. But for now, ask yourself if you're ready to be unknown to yourself. Blank slate, unknown, willing to find out who you might be if you weren't what you thought you had to be, and especially who you might be if you let go of self-protection in favor of God's protection. So, even though there's much more to be said about this, I do hope that we're going to have a discussion about it, and I'm going to open up our conversation right now so that you can ask me about anything that's in your heart and that needs to be clarified.
Good morning, beloved children. Thank you for this talk, which is just bringing up a lot in my heart. And your question about where is it difficult to trust in divine protection really struck a chord with me from my past. As you know, I've been writing about it on the forum. And I think, for me, it's trusting in divine protection seems like a very scary endeavor when it comes to the darkness that other embodied human beings carry. And when I've seen so many people, especially very devout people, lose their lives to that very darkness, even when they trusted in the divine protection, and that may have been their path, but it confuses my heart about what divine protection means.
I understand. This is a question that many people have who've had very challenging experiences in life. Persecution, abuse, violence, all kinds of things have happened to human beings in physical reality, all kinds of things. So I say to you and to anybody else who's trying to overcome a past in which these very difficult and tragic things occurred, that the experience of divine protection does not depend on what's happening outside of yourself. It does not. It depends on what your relationship is with God's love. That is the experience of divine protection. And the experience, it has to be more than a thought. The experience of being held in God's love means that experientially you feel safe no matter what is happening. You feel held in a larger reality no matter what is happening, which doesn't mean that the embodied self, for example, wouldn't also experience pain if something is happening to the body that is difficult. Being embodied means that the physical self is vulnerable to experiences of pain of various kinds. And that includes emotional pain. But whether it's emotional pain or physical pain, it is the unity of feeling held in God's goodness and God's love independently of what's going on at the hands of others, independently. It would be, let's say, to say it differently, it would be the knowledge of your eternal being as a soul that you would feel infused by, held by, the knowledge that you are eternal and that nothing can happen to you. Nothing can happen to you. Things can happen in a temporary sense, but nothing can happen to you. And so that sense of safety doesn't come from everything happening in a pleasant or easy or friendly way in life. It comes from the experience of God's love and from the primary experience of yourself as a soul, as an eternal soul, independent of anything you might be going through.
Is that something that will happen, that I'll feel more and more by trusting when these energies come up? Might be a tonus of my soul? Or is that something that comes as part of God's grace into my consciousness and awareness?
You have to look at the different things that I spoke about earlier. The fact that you may be holding on to something and are unwilling to let go of it, your own ways of protecting yourself. And so by holding on to self-protection in that way, even though underneath you would like to be free, you're closing the door to having a new experience in the present of God's love. You are closing the door by holding on to a different version of reality. So yes, it's something that happens through time, but it happens also by deciding in your heart that you are ready, and it has to be that you're ready to surrender your self-protection more. It doesn't have to be all at once, but it has to be that you let go of something that you're clinging to in order to create a space where you can have a new experience. And if you're holding on to the new, the old, you have difficulty recognizing the new.
Thank you. I understand. Thank you. Julie, what you're saying about, you know, I've heard you say it so many times, but when your answer has to do with how it has to be an experience, not just a thought. And it's that experience that I lack. And that makes everything so difficult. I would like you, if you could, to speak to that, you know, how we can all live in this place while we're waiting for that experience to feel safe in God's reality.
It often happens that there is a period of waiting, but the period of waiting is part of how the experience happens. The period of waiting isn't just a neutral zone. The period of waiting and being in between what you used to do and what you're waiting to experience is what creates the transition, because you're bringing yourself through trust closer and closer towards something. And I understand that it's difficult at times not to want to give up. I do understand that that's a human response to a long period of waiting. But the waiting itself, while abdicating using the previous methods of, let's say, responding to life or protecting yourself, the waiting itself and focusing, orienting yourself towards what you're waiting for is bringing you closer and closer to the experience. And usually, and for you also, it's not black or white. It's not I have or I don't have. It's more that the experience of God's reality needs to become progressively more real, and it needs to become that way through the opening of your heart. Where does God's reality enter? Well, we can hold it as a thought, you know, that God is real or that the universe is one. That can be a thought. But the thought has less influence in changing life than the experience of what I was saying to Johanna, a sense of safety by having an experience of God's love. So you have to be patient and to pray about this and to know that the waiting is bringing you towards what you're waiting for. Where there has been a great clinging to self-protection, where there has been a great investment in patterns of the past that have been very clearly held on to, often for many lifetimes, there's often more of a time of waiting that's involved. So you need to be patient with this, and you need to know that you are doing what your heart desires you to do, which is to bring yourself into closer relationship to God by opening your heart to God. By opening your heart is everything, opening your heart. It's like that, like a flower opening to the sun. If it's closed, it doesn't receive as much. If it opens, it opens itself to receive more. So you need to trust the waiting, is what I'm saying.
You know, it's not, I think it's not just waiting patiently, like peacefully. It's like waiting while, you know, all these waves of darkness from all of these different places keep getting poured over. That makes it, those times are when it's really the most difficult.
In those times, as I said to Johanna, safety has to do with the experience of God's love and of knowing you are an eternal soul. Even in the presence of difficulty, even in the presence of tragedy, you as a soul are being held in light by your own soul. You are being held in the light of your own soul. So each person is somewhere on a progression, a spiritual progression, towards understanding, experiencing, knowing that they are a soul. Each person is traveling in that direction because our identity as a soul is that which is most true, and everything else is less true. But human beings, having left that knowledge, need to come back to it. But even in the presence of great difficulty, you are still being held in light.
Okay, my question is more like a suggestion to him. In this waiting, should we just also watch and pray, asking for perseverance to make it through these times?
Yes, Elijah. Prayer is a very important part of opening your heart. Prayer is very important in order to bring forward your own consciousness into a new state of awareness. So pray to have the strength to get through whatever needs to be gotten through, but also to be taught and to learn what it is that God and your soul wish you to learn. Very well, Jeannie.
Oh, thank you. Hello, Julie. Hello, everyone. Julie, do you not feel that this waiting that we all have to do, that we could reflect? It has given us time to reflect on our past and to see where it's taking us as future. Everything's for a reason. And my feelings are we're all having come to hope, and it would be a good idea to reflect on our past, because if we don't reflect on our past, we can't move forward.
I heard most of what you said. I'm trying to see whether I understood the whole thing. You're asking if reflecting on your past is essential or whether it's useful. Tell me what you're asking. I may have missed a few words.
Well, I've found on my pathway that every step that I take, I usually reflect on my past so that I can see the bigger picture of where I am going in the future. I feel that this is a time of reflection. Everyone is waiting. In this waiting period, we can reflect on our past that must probably help us see the bigger picture of where we are going.
Yes. So, darling, I want to say this. Each soul is different in terms of what is most useful in order to make progress. There isn't a uniformity about what is the way in order to move forward. It may be that for you, awareness in the sense of conscious awareness of the past and its relationship to the present is part of what feels natural to your own being and to your own soul. That thought process which allows you to see more or to know more through reflection and thinking about it. But this is not true for everyone. What God has created in the act of creation itself is a way of being present that does not have to do with reviewing the past, but of simply relating fully and completely to awareness of what's going on in the present in order to release, redo, and renew whatever has gone on before. So that while it may be true for certain souls that perhaps have more of an orientation towards that kind of conscious reflection, while it may be most useful, it's not a necessary feature, and not everybody is good at reflecting on the past. Many people who are seeking healing don't know on a conscious level what their past is that needs to be reflected on. And so this then becomes a question of how does healing take place? What I'm saying is that the orchestration of healing takes place through opening one's heart to God in the present. And its presentness in the moment of being with whatever's going on with as full an awareness as possible that allows new experience to happen and allows new understanding to take place, whether or not one has an awareness, let's say, of past lifetimes or even the past in this lifetime. The present can heal the past in the present. And there may be reasons for your soul in particular to be able to integrate at that level that you're describing. So it may be very important for you. But it is not the key ingredient. The key ingredient is investing oneself in the trust in the present moment to let go of self-protection and to be open to experience whatever's going on in the present. That, more than anything else, is what heals the past.
Yes, Julie, my pathway has been a pathway of awareness of the soul. And obviously, in my life, in my external life, I've had to be alone. So I've more or less been out on a limb. So I've had to listen to everything. I mean, I've had to expand my consciousness, my thinking, every aspect, because there's been no one. I haven't had any teaching until I, you know, connected to the site. So I think maybe that's why I've had to do this. This is part of my pathway.
I think it is. I think it is part of your pathway, and I think that you've honored it by doing what you feel drawn to do, and that you're being guided to do exactly what you are doing. I agree.
And I'd like to comment, because you spoke about loneliness last week, and you are quite right. It has been the driving force behind me, loneliness, because every step of the way it has been lonely. It is loneliness of the soul. And it's been quite a difficult pathway. And I've read your writings, and every aspect of that, I can relate to everything there. And it comes from the soul, so until I heal and become whole, then I feel I can't have a relationship in my outer world. Yes, a relationship, but I mean a personal relationship. So I'm totally dedicated. My soul has had all my attention. And it was only the other day I thought to myself, well, I must look at it as a blessing. Because if I had been in a relationship, someone else would have impinged on my energy. In this way, my soul has had my full attention.
It's true, Jeannie, that sometimes the soul chooses a very solitary path that creates the pain of loneliness for the purpose of greater learning and growth. It's true. And your soul has chosen that because that's been your experience for a long time, a path of loneliness and isolation so that you could go more deeply within. But you have to ask yourself now, because now is now, what is it that God desires for you? I'm posing this as a question for you, not as an answer. There is isolation, there is loneliness, but there may also be an invitation taking place within your consciousness or within your life for you to come more into balance so that loneliness and isolation aren't any longer the complete answer to what your soul has chosen. I encourage you to look at that, because even though solitariness has a great importance for the learning in just the way you've been doing, there can also be an adaptation to that where it feels like it's an eternal state or that it needs to go on longer, when in fact life is calling to create a new circumstance where something else may be needed and desired in addition to the isolation. So I invite you to look at that. It has to do with what is your life calling you now. And the things that I've written that you've responded to may be helpful in terms of how you responded to know the answer to that question. I would wish for you that you were able to do both, to learn through your solitariness, which your soul has chosen, and also to learn through accepting love from others, to learn through that. God bless you.
Thank you. I was very moved by what Jeannie had shared, and I believe this is Jeannie also from the forum. And I wanted to... I know that in writing we haven't connected, but I have felt a connection to you, and now, after you share, I know that path of isolation, I know that path of loneliness very well, and my heart was so moved that I would like to
you feel safe, extend my heart and my hand in some way to bridging, becoming part of a bridge together. I don't know what else to say. Just, I'm so glad to hear you speak and to feel your soul's essence that can't be captured in words. And I send you my blessings and love.
Thank you, Johanna. We have a few more minutes, and I don't know who's online that hasn't spoken. But if you feel shy about speaking, I encourage you to know that wherever your consciousness is a perfect place to respond from, to ask from, wherever your consciousness is. So if you haven't spoken, now's the time before we close.
Hello, Guy. I've unmuted your mic. I see that you typed in a question. I'm wondering if you would like to speak over your mic directly. I could read the question?
Yeah.
Okay. I will read the question. My clinging has been to forgiveness, have had a life of hurt, and I cling to those images of those who have hurt me. When someone violates that wall, I withdraw, become angry, and try to think through how to react. As much as I want to react with a peaceful heart, I go back to what I know, protection. The concept of presence I truly understand, yet there is so much difficulty when it comes to forgiveness. How does one stay present when there is so much pain in the past?
Sometimes, thank you, Guy, for your question. Thank you. Sometimes pain has been so strong and gone on for so long that it becomes part of what you incarnate with in your body in this lifetime. And this is true for many people. Sometimes the issues that have been extreme aren't recurring in the present, but it feels like they are in their extremity, because the pain and the memory of the pain has gone into the body. Not just in the mind, but in the body. So the body fuels what the emotions and the thoughts are doing. I feel for you and for anyone else for whom this is true, the inability to forgive because of what feels like the repetition of past hurts that keep happening over and over again, that you look more closely at the understanding of purification and the practice of alignment and the purification of your body. The body is something that we don't often talk about because historically, especially within the Judeo-Christian tradition, it's been looked at as something apart from the holy. But your body is holy, is meant to carry light. And so if you feel that you're having difficulty letting go of something that's very long-standing, that you feel just goes on endlessly, then I point you in the direction of the purification part of the Light Omega website and learning both about the practice of alignment, which will bring light more into your body if practiced regularly, and just general understanding of the purification of your body. For all human beings, the body is the container, the house, of emotional energies that have not been able to be healed in the past, and it needs to be included and integrated with present efforts at healing in order for the more difficult energies to be released, because they're not just housed in the mind, they're housed in the body as well. So look some more at what you feel drawn to or you feel compatible with related to concepts of purification, and see if you can use those, especially the practice of alignment, to help you. Blessings, Guy.
Hello, Clarice.
Hello. Hi, Judy. Hi, everybody. I just wanted to say thank you for your discussion and for everyone sharing. I resonated so much with everything that you shared.
Thank you, Clarice. So I want to close with a prayer for all beings, and this prayer has to do with trust in God's love, because all surrender, all letting go, needs to be based on trust, and trust needs to be based on an inner sense of what there is to trust, not trust that life will always be good or trust that people will always behave themselves, but trust in the safety of being an eternal soul held in God's love, and with that trust, a prayer to experience this ever more deeply. May all beings learn to find the trust in God's eternal love within themselves, to know indelibly and forever that they are held safely in God's love, and that whatever circumstances they are dealing with, they are still untouched on the level of the soul, on the level of their deeper being, that love is what guides them through life. Love is what guides you through life. May all beings know God's love ever more deeply, and may it bring peace to the world. Amen. Namaste, beloved ones. I will see you again next time.